Work will continue today to try to figure out how border workers at the Grand Millennium in Auckland contracted COVID-19. A third worker at the managed isolation facility tested positive last night. The worker is a close contact of the security guard who was reported with the virus last week.
Genomic sequencing for the security guard, or case B, shows a link with a cleaner from the facility, case A, who tested positive in late March. The Ministry of Health says both cases, A and B, are linked to a returnee who arrived back in New Zealand on March the 13th. It says the newest case has been isolating at home since being identified as a close contact, which means there is little additional risk to the community.
The worker and their partner have been moved to the quarantine facility, and there are so far four locations of interest. All of them are in Mount Roskill. They are the Bicarnavala Bakery between 1:30pm and 2:30pm on Wednesday, April the 7th. Terminus Dairy between 4:30pm and 5:30pm on Wednesday, March the 31st. Thursday, April the 1st, Tuesday, April the 6th and Wednesday, April the 7th.
Also included are White Swan mobile phone repairs. This is between 3:30pm and 4:30pm on Monday, March 29th. Bacon Beans between 4:30pm and 5:30pm on Thursday, April 1st, Friday, April 2nd and Tuesday, April 6th. Now, if you were at any of those places at those times, the Ministry of Health says you should monitor your symptoms for 14 days from the exposure point. If you develop any COVID-19 symptoms, get them tested. Stay at home until you have a negative result. Well, joining us now is Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, the Director General of Health. Morena.
Morena.
What can you tell us about this case C? How did they contract it? Is that the work colleague who was the passenger of case B?
Yes, so this is not the work colleague who was taking the same vehicle to work with case B. So it's a colleague who worked at least one shift with case B, and case B is the security guard we announced publicly last Thursday. So this latest case was someone who was a close contact by virtue of having worked with him on the same shift over that Easter break. And it was therefore already isolating, had been tested and returned an initial negative test. And then just subsequently, when we were notified yesterday about the next test being positive. There are a number of other colleagues of this case B who are also close contacts who are also still isolating and will do so for the full 14-day period.
How many close contacts are there now that you are considering?
Yeah, my recollection is there are seven, and because our case B actually lives alone, they're all work-related, and they have all returned initial negative tests. It's just this one has, in a follow-up test, while isolating, returned that positive test, and his partner, who's also with him, as you said in the introduction at the quarantine facility, has also been isolated.
And is that a standard procedure, that follow-up test, which resulted in the positive, or was there a reason for that?
No standard procedure, so it wasn't that the person was symptomatic, but we usually do an initial test when we first identify them, and then it's the 5 days since the last exposure. And sorry, just to update my information, there are 15 close contacts in total from case B, and this was one of them being a work-related close contact.
And so far, none of those other 15 have tested positive, but you'll be retesting them all?
That's correct. And as close contacts, of course, they are isolated for 14 days. They have tests initially or at 5 days since the exposure, and then a day 12 test as well, but still remain isolated for the full 14 days.
OK, so we've got three cases now linked. If we go back to case A, this is a cluster?
Well, there's a link between the three of them, and we know at least epidemiologically between our latest case and his and case B, and we know from the genomic sequencing that our cleaner, which was the case we publicised on the 22nd of March, that person had a genomic link to a returnee who had tested positive in the middle of March. Now, we found out over the weekend with our whole genome sequencing on case B, so our security guard, that he was linked to both genomically, he was linked genomically to our cleaner, and we're just trying to find that epidemiological link. But clearly, our latest case is as a close contact of case B, there is an epidemiological
link. Okay, but do we describe that as a cluster, though?
Well, it's a small group. Yeah, I mean, you would call that a cluster. They're all, but they're a different. They're a clear chain of transmission between the three of them.
Okay.
Either genomically or epidemiologically. So that's, in a sense, reassuring.
Yes, but you've said there's relatively low risk. But if we go back, case A was what you said, the 22nd, or was announced on the 22nd, 21st, and then case B wasn't revealed until around the 8th of or 7th of April, so a long gap there of almost 2 weeks.
Yes, there is a long gap, and one of the things the team has been looking at is whether there might be a link, a sort of someone who was an intermediary between those two cases. But that's all been looked at through CCTV footage and just whether both the cleaner and the security guard were in the same
place. That's got to be a bit of a worry, though, doesn't it? Because then there could be an unknown part to this.
There could be. It seems unlikely, just given the timing. But we, and also our case B, the serology suggests, and that's why we've gone back quite a way with our places of interest. As you introduced those, we've gone right back to the 31st of March because there's some evidence from his serology results that he may have had the infection a little while ago. And then being picked up through the testing. So we're looking at all those things. I think the other important thing is, if you remember back to our case A, the cleaner in March, there was no she hadn't spread that on to any of her family members. And if you also recall, she had had one vaccination already.
Was case C vaccinated?
I don't have that information, but that's information we're collecting at the moment, and we're just confirming that, and we'll make that available at the 1 o'clock update.
There clearly seems to have been a failure here, though, hasn't there? Three cases within the one, from within the one hotel, that has got to be alarming.
Well, I'm not. Again, I don't tend to use the word failure, because what we have done is identified these cases, and therefore we're able to manage this incursion.
Failure is that's being passed on between workers. How else do you describe it?
Yeah, there's an issue. And that's and last week when we got this case on Thursday, we immediately got our health and MB teams together to work out what else is going on potentially in this hotel. And we've convened the technical advisory group to give further advice there. At the moment, no further flights are being brought into the Grand Millennium while these things are worked through. This is the process we followed with the Pullman, just to check that there is no particular issue with this facility, either the procedures and protocols or the facility itself.
Just on the vaccinations, just to recap again, so you don't know whether case C was vaccinated or not, case B wasn't, case A?
Case A had received their first vaccination, actually had received both vaccinations, but had only just had the second one. So, yes, we're just confirming case B hadn't been vaccinated, but that security company that both cases B and C work for, 80% of their workforce have been vaccinated. We just know with case B that person hadn't yet, and we're just confirming vaccination status for case C.
Are you disappointed with the speed of the vaccination rollout amongst border workers? Had you expected these people to have been vaccinated?
I would have hoped that they would have been vaccinated by now. And
well, just to be clear, hoped or expected, because it's important, because we need to know that what you are issuing as your orders, effectively, are being carried out.
Well, it's not an order. Remember that vaccination is voluntary. There has been a huge effort gone in since the 20th of February to make vaccination available to all working at the border workforce. We know that some of those border workforces, and I should point out there are over 300 different employers who have people working in or around the border, both in MIQ and around airports and ports. So it is a big effort that has gone in, and many people, and in some groups.
No, and look, we understand, we understand it as a complex process and difficult, involves private contractors, and we now know the Prime Minister's saying they've got 2 weeks, you either get vaccinated or you find another position. I'm just interested to know whether it was your expectation, your clear expectation, that these workers would have been vaccinated by now?
Well, there was a clear expectation that people working in the front line at the border do get vaccinated, or there has to be other options looked at for them, and that process is well underway. What we have seen is the vast majority of border workers have been vaccinated. I think that's great because it provides them and their family and the community protection. This week, the process starts to follow up with those who haven't very actively and look at other options if they can't or won't be vaccinated.
On the issue of the India travel suspension, we are seeing a massive increase in cases in India, which means it's only likely to become more of an issue in a couple of weeks' time. What are the leading mechanisms you have now to try and mitigate that? One idea suggested by Michael Baker is that travellers wanting to head here from India would stay in a hotel at the airport for a week. Is that something that's being considered?
So all the options are on the table, and yes, our teams across Foreign Affairs and Health and other agencies are looking at what could be done. One option is to have a requirement about staying in a sort of a safe location post that pre-departure test and before getting on the plane. So we're working with MFAT very closely to get some other options on the table. And then, of course, there is the practicality of how those could be implemented, and that will require working with obviously the Indian authorities and with airlines.
Is it your advice at the moment to not extend the ban?
It's too soon to say. Obviously, we're following developments closely in India, and as you've said, you know, there's a huge increase in cases, I think nearly 153,000 yesterday. So there's a very steep rise in the number of cases happening there.
So if you can't get, say, some sort of a potential hotel mechanism in place in time, you are prepared to recommend to the government that the suspension is extended?
Well, it's still 2 weeks away. We will be looking to see what we can get in place, and we'll give further advice closer to the time. But the decision about that would be the government's.
Just one very quick question on the vaccines. Can you confirm how many doses of vaccine we actually have in the country of Pfizer?
Oh, we have several hundred thousand, another delivery due this week. So we have good stocks of the vaccine, and we're in constant contact with Pfizer. And at this stage, we've got no concerns about that supply coming through, not just over the coming months, but also once the numbers really ramp up from July.
Given that you've got hundreds of thousands of doses, why are we still vaccinating at such a slow rate? Couldn't you then ramp it up?
Well, the rates are picking up. The main reason that we're having to do it in a sort of a measured way over these next few months is because the very big supplies don't arrive till July, but we are vaccinating all those priority groups. And most days last week, we were up around 7,000 or 8,000 a day being given around the country. So that's great, and we're expecting to see that increase again this week.
Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, thank you very much for your time. Director General of Health